All right, we good?
Of course, man.
All right. I'm excited for this one. I got top five in my presence today. You know what I'm saying? YSK 8K special.
Okay.
Heavy on the YSK, but shout out to my brother Dorian for pulling up.
Appreciate helping that,
me
man.
Facilitate today's episode, but I'm going to give you all a little like hype me up type of intro, and then we'll just get into it. So like I said, shout out to Dorian.
Thank you.
In his junior year, studying accounting and information systems at University of Maryland. Big Four accounting firm's most wanted man.
Please.
Been selected for KPMG's Inbox Scholar Program last summer. He's going to be joining Deloitte this summer. And when you're walking across campus with this man, add 10 minutes to your commute. You're going to get stopped every 30 seconds. Real life celebrity in my circle. Fresh off the Damian Pinkett Award for his academic efforts and social civic engagement in the Maryland Black community. If I'm with 8K, you know the outcome.
Man, don't make me bust, bro.
Bennett's finest. Dorian, welcome to the Your Choice Podcast.
Appreciate
how you doing,
that.
Bro?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And like I said, helping me facilitate my main event, IO, otherwise known as Young Saliki in the building, studying information science at the University of Maryland, part of the executive board at the African Student Association as an outreach liaison. Outside of the classroom, that's what I really want to talk about. Over 35K followers across all social media platforms. Wow. Made a name for himself through the funny videos, but he said he's on the music thing now.
Yeah.
And he hasn't disappointed. Two EPs under his belt, all hits, no misses. Wow. He said he's chasing Moolah Green. If he keeps on doing it, he's going to have it in abundance. Got a whole Nigerian fan base in the building.
Amen.
Ayo, welcome to the Your Choice Podcast. How you doing, bro?
I'm feeling good. Never better, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I appreciate you all joining me, you know. I reached out to you, immediately took up the call. Obviously, Dorian, I appreciate the connect as well. But like I said, before we get into the music, individual stories, what's top five, bro? Because they be saying you guys run the school.
Hey, I'm top five. So me and a couple of friends, we just made a group chat and we called it top five. The reasons why I made the group chat called it top five, I don't even remember anymore, but top five became more than what it was. Like, okay, Jason Tatum, he had this one video where he was like, I guess he had a haircut, and then someone was asking him, oh, how you feeling today? He said he was just saying top five.
That's real.
And we took that, I'm just like, yeah, that's like mentality. Like, no matter what, I feel like I'm top five, like on top of the world. Like, what's it called? So, making top five and the people in it is just like, it's just encouraging us all to like move with confidence and everything. So yeah, that's really it.
And top five is definitely more than a group itself too. It's like a family. Like it's, these are not people that I just go to school with that like after I graduate, I'm gonna just like disappear. Like these are people that, you know, they've been through the ups, the lows, all that stuff. Man, they see, top five has seen me at my lowest for sure.
Not for real.
So like, it's definitely a mentality and like, it's definitely a mentality and definitely like probably one of the like biggest support systems that you probably have.
No, for sure.
And you guys, you're not just five members. It started out as five and then now it's a bigger joint.
It never even started out as five. Honestly.
Okay. So it's just a mentality joint.
It's just a mentality. It was never five people. It was like, people always ask me, oh, why did you go to the top 11? I'm like, bro, shut up. Like, you don't know what we got going on. Top five is the mentality. Top five is just how we mentally move and how we like, we carry ourselves and all that.
Yeah, because first time I heard about top five, I know Dorian for a minute, but I heard about top five like what? 2 weeks ago, and I started laughing. But I'm not gonna lie, when you guys pull up in a room, you feel the presence. You know what I'm saying? So, in terms of top five, we talked about that in general. But like for you guys personally, how did y'all meet and like how did that friendship develop?
You know what's so crazy?
Mm.
The way I met Ayo, it was at a party, all right? And it was like something very stupid. I seen Ayo, I took the hat off Ayo's head, and like I put it on my head, and then we just started dancing. And then he took the hat off my head and then put it back on his head. And then it was just like, ever since then, bro, like, I always see him around. And then, like, you know, when you see somebody around, you start talking to them more, you get closer and closer and closer. And then, like, that's how he became one of my brothers today. But it was definitely at that one party where I took it.
I like this. Like, honestly, that party, bro, that's, like the funniest first impression ever. You know, it was so funny. Like, I just couldn't even believe what was going on. But I was going with the flow. I was dancing too. It was a vibe, bro. Honestly, bro, I can't, Dorian is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. Dorian is just like, he's a superhero. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's
If you need something,
he's everybody's Captain America, something, bro. He got you, bro. Like, number one. In terms of like how, like, what's it called? I met top five in that sense. I actually made top five. Me and another person actually made top five.
I got you.
So like me and that person been friends for like me, my cousin, and that other person. We've been friends for like 10 years. So it was just like we was having a conversation one day and just made a group chat because we're gonna go hoop. So
yeah.
Just a top five. But then like me and everybody else in top five, it just became like, dang, these are the people that are adding to my story, that are adding to my story as I'm going on.
Yeah.
I'm like doing it in a sense, like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's so many, like, I like to call them missions, or like so many like events that me and him have bought, like catastrophic, like not catastrophic, but like funny situations that me and him have been through. You know, so I could tell a story about me and doing it for like years, for like, we'll be here for like 2 years. But like Kevin, like Manny, like everybody else in top five, like John too, like Tosin, everybody, we all like so many stories, so many things we've all been through, and I personally have been through with each one of them.
Okay.
So it's just like we're top five because we've like gained that. We are that all top five because we ate and bombed each other and all that. So yeah.
Okay, I got you. And this was before you started getting into the music, or like when you were doing the skits, did you all meet?
Yeah, before music.
Before the music.
Before
the
music.
Yeah. Before you doing. Okay. Yeah, I think, and that's the first time I think I ever saw you. It was on a skit.
Well, I know,
it was a skit. But I think it was like the one where it's like you talking about like the guy who's like old. He's like, this man's like, everybody's like chopping it up, and this man's like 30 something years old. He's God.
That was funny. That was
going. Yeah, but you know, on that part of the skits, how did you get into content creation? Like I said beforehand, you know, over 35,000 on all platforms. Obviously, I know you're big, like, focused on the music right now. Mm-hmm. But how did the content creation start, which, and then we'll transition into, like, the music part of things?
All my life I've been, like, naturally funny.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, something I did one day. So when I, like, 15, I made a video. I actually have the video here.
Mm. Hopefully, my editing team, if we can put it on the screen.
We don't got the video. I just remembered. I deleted the video a long time ago. It could be my archive, but I'll check it later. But the video was just me doing an African accent saying, are you giving me attitude? You're giving me attitude.
And that
it blew up. I just said, okay, let me start making more videos. Made another one. It blew up, had like a good, like good reach. It had good reach. And I just kept doing it because like it was fun at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Started making African dad content, started wearing clothes, and I became a character called Baba Swagga. R.I.P. Baba Swagga. I don't think he's ever coming back. But I became a character, become called Baba Swagga, and I just like that character, it just took off in general. Like I when TikTok came in, I grew my fan base on TikTok with that. But yeah, I just became a character and all that. And it was really interesting. That's how I got into skates for
And you went straight with like the African dad, like straight away.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was easy. It was
African
easy,
dad man. Is always a hit, bro. I don't know about now because I'm not as tapped in, like in terms of that side of comedy. But we were talking about off camera, like Sam Spetty, Clifford Owusu.
Yeah. Real question though, like, you know, when we were growing up, we watched those Clifford Owusu videos on YouTube and stuff like that. Do you think like those people really helped you in terms of like making those type of content, knowing what to make and what like?
Yeah, and I would specifically say two people. It was A-Dot Comedian and Don't Judge Me. Mm-hmm. Those two people were like the people I watched, and they like, they cultivated how like I made videos.
Yeah,
they really made me make videos the way I make videos. Like those people are like. To this day, watching A-Dot Comedian, watching Don't Judge Me, those people are still funny.
Those are
like
the OGs.
This day. And I'd like, if I were to continue making African skits, I would want it to be like that. But the way I was already going, it wasn't like that.
Okay, I got you. I think for me, though, too, you know how I know someone's good is when you know it's the same character, but like it's just like you still see it differently. Yeah. Like you don't even sometimes like with Clifford Owusu, the only difference was like he was taking his glasses off.
Yeah.
That was it. And you still were like, yo, that's the dad, that's the son. Just in terms of someone who's trying to get into that type of niche, obviously that's like not your main focus right now. Mm-hmm. What would you say your advice is to like pop off in that area? Because it seems simple, right? Because we all do it like with our friends, I think, growing up, our siblings, like growing up with African parents, like we do those skits just in person. But like to actually put that content out, especially now that everyone's doing it, how would you say like you stand out and be able to do that?
First thing I gotta say is actually something I actually lost because I was making music, and that's why I can't make. That's why now I can't make. That's why I don't feel like making skits anymore.
Okay.
You have to like not care about being cool. Not care about looking cool.
So you care about looking cool now?
Okay, because I make music. Just because I make music.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Like once you care about looking cool, you're gonna be having 10 takes on one scene because the angle didn't look right. Oh, this didn't look right.
Yeah.
Like with comedy, with what's it called? It's the comedy is best in its rawest form.
Okay.
And people want like people love the rawest form of everything so they can laugh at it. So like back then I would like record something on my iPhone. I wouldn't even have a tripod. I would record something, I'd get a box like this and I'd put it in a box like this and it'd just be, and it was going up because it was like real. At that point in time, I'll even like just take the phone and start saying PSA, public service announcement, public service announcement, public service announcement. And I'll just be like, start talking about anything. And it'd just be like, whoa, this guy is just so stupid. But that's where like, that's, if you want to like make it just, you have to be extremely raw. You have to be, pause.
It's no Diddy, bro.
No Diddy. No Diddy. But you have to be extremely like, what's it called? Like, you have to not care. Don't look cool. Just do it.
So in terms of not caring about looking cool, did that become something that you developed when you started making the music, or is it like it was just a character development that kind of like transitioned before like right into the music part of things?
I feel like it was a character development right before the music. Honestly, I was worried about like looking cool. Like I didn't want it was I don't know. This might be like what's it called? This might be very like shallow. But I didn't want to look uncool because of a
short. I think it's actually true that like you like we all have that thin will, like we gotta, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Because if a shorty like look at my joint, she, oh yeah, this nigga's a comic. My fault, Granny Language.
No, you straight.
Like, he's a jokester. He's a comedy nigga. Like, damn, I don't want that to really like, you know. I don't like that. I don't want that like image. What's it called? In sense of like, but then when I made music, I was like, nah. Because when I was making skits, it was like a transfer. It was like African dad comedy skits, into gatekeeping.
Okay. And then the gatekeeping joints, those are funny. Those are the ones I've seen most of, because those are still like on the IG a little bit.
Then it's in gatekeeping. I feel like in between the gatekeeping and the African dad, that's when I had to looking cool. Okay. And I feel like the gatekeeping videos, it allowed me to really be myself.
Okay.
And I would still bring those back to this day, but right now I'm focusing on music. So I feel like I just feel like the African dad, the character was like, I felt like a clown putting on the clothes on, what's it called? Just because it wasn't me anymore.
Okay, fair.
So that's for like where the looking cool aspect comes in.
Okay, yeah, but, makes sense. And then with the music, you told me that it wasn't something that you like desired, like life, like your whole life, it's not something that you desired. It's almost like music found you. Mm-hmm. Can you like go in depth on what you mean by that? Because just for you being in this for a year, if like when Dorian put me on, I didn't even think like, yo, it's only been a year.
Yeah.
So it's like almost kind of like a thing where it's like it was just a line for you.
Yeah.
I would say one thing. If you listen, like, I remember I was showing his first song.
Yeah.
His first song that you made on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Time to move on.
Yeah. And you listen to his joints now, it's like two complete.
Like night and day.
Two complete.
And it was like a span of what, 6 months?
6 months. Time to move on into. When we get into music, I could talk about music for years.
Okay,
let me explain like this. When I first got into music, it was, I feel like I started making music, one day on campus, freshman year, me, my cousin Tosin, and our good friend Nena, we're just out and about. And Nena was like, Tosin is my producer.
Yeah, Jakey's.
Best producer in the world. So it was just one day, like we're all just walking around and he has like a little like microphone and what's it called, set in his room. And said, and then Nena was like, can I record? And then, you know, so Tosin let her record. So we go to Tosin's room and she's recording. And I'm just like, I don't want to even be there. Like, I don't want to be there. I'm like, ah, bruh, bruh, bruh. And then he's then after she's done recording, like, he's chosen just playing his beats. And I heard this one beat, which ends up being the title Move On beat. And I was like, hold on. And I started saying some singing, some. I just started singing. I said, can I sing on here? Oh, no. I just said, I've been through hard things in life, but I'll do it again. Got to do a good thing. But yeah, it's like, and then like, it just sounded, it sounded like good for knowing someone who has never made music before. Mm. And then it's like, wow, this is hard. This is hard. And I just, and like making that song and trying to like write the lyrics and trying to like, what's it called? I just found love in what I was doing. I was like, bro, this is really tough. And even though like, even though when I actually released, I ended up releasing it. Luckily, somebody told me it was ass.
So you didn't tell him when he put it out. You said it was hard.
No, you said it was hard. Like when he put it out, it was like, and this was probably like the beginning of our like friendship. So it was like, I was listening and like, I knew that he made skits. So it was like, I never attacked it from a person that makes music.
Yeah, you're looking at it from like, oh, you're just getting new to this. And like, okay.
But it wasn't ass.
It wasn't ass.
Okay.
If I show it to you today.
To you, like, compared to what you're doing now. Compared to what you're doing now. Yeah, I got you.
But after that, I was just making any time. I started rapping. I had this one song called Real Love. It was cool. I like that one to this day, but I'm never going to drop it. And then one day, I'm talking about how I went into Afrobeats. It was just this one day we were all, me and my friends, we all lived in Oakland. This is sophomore year, 50th of sophomore year. I haven't dropped a song ever. 50th sophomore year. And I was just like, wow, like this is a good time. So we just all had this one beat and like, I put the chorus on it and I was like, if you zoom on me, I go zoom on you. If you do like one, I go do like two. I reciprocate everything you do, but baby girl, you know that. If you know what it means to be my girl, I'll give you my world. That joke was like, yo. And I showed it to my mom. You know when you show something to your mom and she said it's hard? It's hard, right? But when you show it to your dad, and my dad, I showed him the title move, bro. My dad, he said, this is a musical. I showed him that. That guy's the most 100% honest person in the world. He'll tell you straight how it is.
For sure.
So this is a musical. And he's like, wow, you made this. This is good. Yeah. So that pushed me to make music for real. That was like, after Sumomi, I didn't release Sumomi either. Okay. But after Sumomi, I was like, yeah, I got to make
this. This is the one. Okay. Speaking on that, like a little bit of a change of subject, but you just talked about like your dad, getting that validation from him is like how you knew like it was time to like move forward. I feel like all of us can relate with that, having African parents. Mm-hmm. Like how much of an importance does it still hold in terms of what you're doing with music now? Or just like the choices that you're making regarding like content creation? This is sort of... question for you too, Dorian. It's like the choices that you make, like how much of an importance is it, their like opinions and validation, like now compared to like maybe like when you're younger?
I feel like when you're younger, for me, definitely growing up, it was like, I feel like because growing up, my situation was like, you know, my parents were split, but it's like, so it was like everything that my, both, cool. And so it was like everything that I did growing up. And you know how African people can be. Like everything I did growing up, it was sort of a reflection on like how my mom was raising me. So I had to be very cautious of like the stuff I used to do when I was younger, you know. But like to this day, it does hold some weight. But at the same time, I would say too that like if you feel like you could do something and it's like you know that you're gonna be good at it, just take that stab at it, because at the end of the day, you're gonna be the one living with the regret if you don't do it. You see what I'm saying?
So
do it, and if you know if it turns out good, they're gonna praise you. If they turn out bad, they're gonna be like, you know, that's what I told you, you know. But like, take that chance always, for sure. Like,
yeah.
It definitely holds. I think turning to this day, it does hold a little bit less weight, you know, because I'm what, 21, you know.
But
as you grow on in life, you have to take those chances to make sure to even prove yourself that you could do something.
Nah, honestly, like, I really, like, I ain't got to, everything you said, like, 100%, bro, like, especially the journal, like, because living with your mom, And what's it called? Everything you do, if you okay, you do bad at school, do this, you do this. Oh, your mother,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you have to like you have a certain expectation because you don't want nobody to talk bad about your mother. You don't want like you just don't like that. You know what I'm saying? So obviously it held a lot of weight. You know what I'm saying? I feel like right now though, in my opinion, like I feel like both of my parents can't really tell me. They can advise me.
I know what you mean. They can't tell me nothing.
Like, in the sense that the path I'm trying to, what's it called? No one in my family has walked it.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to
they
do,
don't know what they to
don't
tell
know
you.
The, yeah. They don't know where to, they can only advise me, okay, this is the. Mm-hmm. But no one has tried to do what I'm doing. So, therefore, you can't teach me how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
But one thing I do want to say is that, like, no one's going to look out for your best interest more than your parents.
Of course.
No one's, like, something I learned, like, friends, all that. But the number one person that your parents are always going to look out for your best interest, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I also get what he's saying. Like, you know, everybody's path in life is different, you know? So, something I do feel like parents, they do a little bit is, like, they want you to walk the same path as them.
Yeah.
But it's, like, you're not...
You can't walk the same path.
You know what I'm
saying?
You have your own experiences that you need to go through. That's how you... That's really how you grow.
Yeah. And,
you know?
And in that sense, I'm not even saying, like, okay, they can't help me. They can't guide me through what I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you're walking a different path with your parents. They can guide you through that, right? Mm-hmm. They can help you. They can, there's things in this path that I'm walking that are similar to other paths.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, oh, just going out and doing this on your own. Oh, living on your own, traveling, this, mm-hmm. that. They can tell you, okay, move like this, move like this, move like this. One thing, like, I feel like parents are so, like, good at is just building a foundation of faith.
Sure.
So, like, and for me, like, it's like my mom poured loving God into me. And now that's, like, where for me now, like, everything I do is, God, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Every breath I take, God, thank you. Every, like, mm-hmm. what's it called? Every show I have, every song I make, every after every song, I what's it called? I give Thanksgiving at church because it's, like, it's, everything is thank you from God. Everything is thank you, God.
Yeah,
and I feel like seeing what my mom, how my mom lived, because my mom is, like, she has her own ministry and all that. Seeing how my mom lived, that's, what, like, one thing, like, I took from it. And that's, like, one thing I've learned. Seeing my father, like, my father is, like, Muslim. Like, he's, and how he takes God seriously and how, like, what's it called?
Mm-hmm.
I've taken that from them. So I feel like that's the guidance that I needed in terms of, like carving a different path and all that. So
For sure, faith is definitely one of the biggest things. And I had a stepfather too, so it's like my dad was there, my stepfather was there, my mom was there, and they, like, my stepfather treated me like I was his own kid, you know. And it's like, mm-hmm. that foundation of faith. My mom, every time I see my mom do something, when my mom opened up a hair salon, you know, and every day I would just see her go to church. And that showed me, like you said, everything that you do, you always had to thank God. Every achievement that I got, I always thank God first. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I got a paycheck, I always thank God that I got the paycheck, you know. So it's like your parents are there, but for sure the first thing that you definitely need is God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then after that, you pray on it. After that, you listen to the advice of your parents, and then you move accordingly on what you have to do.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. definitely. And with faith being something that all three of us share, and you say, like, you thank God after everything that you do.
Even waking up in the morning, make sure you thank God.
Yeah, okay, Pastor, thank you. But nah, in the industry that you're in, what did I just... You can just make it broad, so let's not just say music, mm-hmm. but just, like, content in general, right? How much of there is, like, a tug of war in terms of, like, the things that you dive into when you try and look at, does this align with my faith? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a good question. For me, it is like a tug of war. When you see the people, like, you see, these are people, it's all about, like, discernment, though.
Mm.
I feel as if, like, once you, there are certain situations that I don't think I've been in anything crazy yet.
Okay.
But there's certain situations where you will have to, like, really, 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 ask God for the spirit of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that you will have to be prepared for to go through. Like, in the sense, okay, in a sense, like, if I was, so let's say I'm doing music and God forbid, I get invited to a Diddy party. I'm not knowing it's a Diddy party.
Diddy
party
is like the best party.
But like,
man.
What's it called? Like, things like that.
This guy, man.
But like things like that, like, you have to, like, pray and discern, is this a place, like, I want to be in? Mm-hmm. Is this a scenario I want to be in? Same with, like, let's say I'm in music and I'm like, oh, this certain artist wants to collab with me. And I'm seeing what the music he's making. I'm seeing, oh, he's on Vamp. I don't know.
Yeah, Vamp.
Playboi Carti. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it. I have to ask God, like, okay, is this somebody you want to go up? And that's how I move with in terms of, like in terms of the industry. Like, you have to like, what's it called? You have to move with God, because only God could give you, like, only God could give you glory and it won't come with a price.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's been like my way of, like, thinking with, in terms of industry, in terms of, like, acting, in terms of content creation, in terms of music. Like, I can't do it without him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's mm-hmm. my.
And, like, when you do get those, like, opportunities, as you continue to grow,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be more opportunities with that to do it without him. Because, like, I feel like right now, mm-hmm. not to say, like, you're small or you're big or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, the future in terms of, like, me, I'm not a music junkie, but, like, all of your joints I mess with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, okay, the future is definitely going to be big. But when the future is big, then it's more of like a thing where, like, your discernment is no longer an individual thing unless you really are intentional about making it an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, would you say that right now you've already experienced things where it's like you have people around you and you have certain opportunities that, like, can kind of fast track your success that you've, like, turned down just because of, like, that discernment? Or, like, what you would say, like, you maybe not at that point yet?
I'm trying to think.
I don't think so. We haven't had a conversation about something that's, like, kind of hectic.
No, I don't think so. Not yet. But yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. So staying just on, like, the kind of, like, the come up of the music. Like I said, it's only been a year. Right, but when was that point when, like, what was the first song within this past year that's, like, kind of, like, popped off in terms of, like, more validation? The one that I think most people know you for is Moolah Green, but, like, Saliki Summer, I think there's some hits in there too. I didn't know about you before at that point, mm-hmm. but there's some hits in there too. But, like, is there one particular song that not so much means the most to you, but then was more of just like a confirmation of, like, yeah, like, I can be him?
I ain't glad you said it.
you think Moolah Green?
I know. I got to cook, bro. Because when you understand Moolah Green's story,
yeah.
So I'm about to, like, get really deep.
Mm-hmm.
So Moolah Green. Okay, before let me explain, like, the other songs and why they're not.
Okay, cool.
So Down for Love 1 was my first song, and it's my most streamed song. Down for Love, great song, but for me, I didn't know how to make music. In my opinion, I didn't know how to, like, carry a song, so I needed other people to help me. Whereas I had Ike and I had John, 1K Shay John, EK is his name.
Okay.
And I had 1K Shay John, like, I made the chorus and they helped me glue the pieces.
Okay.
That's where that song came about. All the songs in Syracuse Summer are amazing. But again, like, I was just finding out who I am. And it's like, I was making a sound like somebody I knew, like WizKid.
Okay.
WizKid, like, anyway, I don't know who WizKid was good.
Uh-huh.
WizKid, like, a good comparison?
Yeah, I think so. Just making sounds, just trying. I feel like when he was making Saliki Summer, for sure,
mm-hmm.
It was definitely like he was just trying a lot of stuff out, seeing what stick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but I know for sure, for me, what song that I said, yeah, I really was down for love. And then after that, if you guys ever get a chance, go listen to Southtown Baby.
Yeah, Southtown. I was listening to that this morning.
Southtown Baby, that's a good song. So, yeah. I got to you. Saliki Summer was, like, what's it called? It was, for me, like, how... For me, it exemplified how quick I can make music.
Mm-hmm.
I made Saliki Summer in 2 weeks. 5 songs in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And right after... And before this, I dropped a collab song with Toby, Tobes, mm-hmm. Everything You Do. And that wasn't even an Afrobeat song.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I did the marketing for that, boom, next song, Saliki Summer, boom, 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 did the marketing for that. So that showed me, okay, I can do this quick. and it can be good. Mm-hmm. But Moolah Green, so here's the background of Moolah Green. So during that summer,
I remember, go ahead, but I remember a specific story with Moolah Green that I will never forget. When you first showed me Moolah Green, mm-hmm. when you first showed me Emmanuel Moolah Green, you played to us. When he first showed us Moolah Green, he played it to us. Me and this is where it comes in, where you have to have real friends in your corner for sure. Mm-hmm. We both told him that like he needs to go and record that joint, like fix it and record it, you know, because at the time it wasn't the Moolah Green that you know today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So like, I feel like with that too is like, you can see that there's the community behind IO yeah. for sure
yeah.
helps a lot, because I'm not gonna lie, if you would put that first Moolah Green that you showed me IO,
yeah.
it wouldn't be the same joint today.
And, yeah. and there's something after he said that to me, there's something that happened. So Moolah Green, it was just like, oh, chasing Moolah Green. The when I first made Moolah Green, I heard the beat during RA training. It was me and my friend Kofi. Shout out Kofi. I just keep hearing the beat. Tosin made a beat. Tosin makes all my beats, by the way.
Okay.
Big Keys makes all my beats. He made a beat. He posted on his joint. Funny thing, he doesn't even like the beat. So so me and Jay Kofi were in the room. We're hearing that joint. Like, oh, this joint hard. This joint hard. This joint hard. This joint hard. And then like one day it's just like, wow, this joint is hard. And I just started saying, "Chase Moolah Green, just another man, Jamie. What am I gonna see? What am I gonna see?" And I just started saying that. And then just like, and I showed this, and then it's like, man, you gotta like, it's like, yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Manny, and you know what, Manny don't like a song. He's like, Manny, like, he's like, bro, he's like, yeah. Shit, because I was just like, I played the beat and I just started saying it to them. He's like, man, I think you just gotta record it. And you know, I know, yeah, they're not feeling it.
Like, it's an indirect way of telling you, like, yeah, this joint.
So I started an RA trainer, and one day I got a call from my mom. So during that summer, my mom's car got repossessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, a lot of bad things were happening. Mm-hmm. And during that day, like, my mom called me. She said, I'm going to kill myself.
Mm.
And it's just like, I'm going, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And she said, if you don't need me, I'm this, I'm that. Like, just let me go. You're going to be better off without me, this, then, the third. I'm like, huh? And I'm so confused. And I remember that day so vividly because Manny was going to come and scoot me to, like, go get something to eat. And I'm like, mom, this, then, the third. What's it called? And she was feeling this way because she didn't have no ways to make money and she needed to pay something. She needed to pay the rent of where she's living. And she did. She's like, I'm just going to kill myself. It's okay. I don't need her. And when Manny pulled up on me, I said, please take me back home. He took me back home I made sure she was okay. Like I took her out of the house. I went to the landlady, and I said, don't worry, I'm going to pay for the whole rent. And making Moolah Green, it wasn't about, now making Moolah Green, it meant something to me.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, I need money. The whole first part of Moolah Green, I freestarted. I freestarted. When it gets, and then I just like, Father, cover me. Somebody helped me write that. Shout out Tracy. She helped me like write the melody and everything. And then like, it just became the song. It was never about, oh, we need money just to get money. It was like, I want to feed my family. Like, I really want to like feed my family with this joint. And it's just like, yeah. And it's like you can hear it in the passion with the ad-libs at that second chorus. Like, it's like, I really needed Moolah Green.
Yeah.
So that was the story of Moolah Green and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why Moolah Green, like, no matter what song I make, Moolah Green holds a special place in my heart. Like, I made new songs like End of Us, Down for Love 2. These songs are great. Don't get me wrong. They're like, in some eyes, they might be better than Moolah Green, but Moolah Green means that much to me because of what I went through that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you talk about the importance of like your community in terms of just like you elevating and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
but then also, in terms of like you know, telling them like, yo, this is not it, being mm-hmm. honest.
Mm-hmm.
So like two things I want to touch on. First thing is, how do you go about now talking to your friends about what you're going to put out? Is it like a thing where like sometimes like, bro, you know, this is hard, you can't tell me nothing? Or is it like a thing where it's like every song is like, yo, Dorian, what's your opinion? Yo, Toby, what's your opinion type?
It depends on the people. Oh. Honestly, like, I'm at a point right now where I feel like anytime I get in the studio, it's going to be a good song.
Fair.
And, like, if I play them a song and they don't, they like, I don't know. They just not knowing yet. That's how I feel right now. Because, like, because usually I don't play them a song. I play them the beat and I speak over it.
Okay.
And they're like, I don't know. I don't know. I know. But when I put in it, because, like, me and Tosin, we have a cyber connection that we know how we want everything to sound. Like, I feel like now, I do take their reaction in consideration. I said, man, I got to go harder.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I do, and if they, and like, at the same time, but, like, if they, let, they can tell me something that's good, and I'll be like, man, this is not good yet. So I what's it called? Because I compare myself to three artists. I compare myself to Ashake, I compare myself to Wizkid, and I compare myself to Burna Boy, and Zeno Liskey. That's four artists.
Okay.
I compare myself to them, those people, because I look at, okay, they're making this type of music. How can I meet them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bro, when I hear a song, I say, this is not that. It's not like them. It's not like them. It's not like them. It's not like them. It's not as good as they, what they did. I don't want to sound like them,
okay,
but I want to be there. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what, like, what's it called? I compare myself to them and all that.
And then that second question, like, of community was more so how you just, like, build up hype, how you build up, like, traction, social media. With Moolah Green, you be just giving out assignments, say 400 comments, boom. 400 comments. So, like, and this, Dorian, I'll have you answer this question after. You know, two people who, you know, even to take the music aside, you guys have been able to build, like, a strong network of people where it's not like, yo, these are like, let's just use the number 400, right? It's not just like 400 people that are like, that kind of know who you are. They're like, almost like, it seems like from the outside looking in, like 400 people that actually got a relationship with you.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you go about doing that as a potential, I guess, like, you know, helping build you up? But just in general, like, it's cool to actually, like, have a network of that many people where you can say, like, I mess with you, 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 and you. And then you back there, you know me too.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, yeah, speak on that.
So, honestly, I feel like it's just about saying hi to people, honestly. Like, yeah, so, and the thing is, bro, I thought I was, like, the most, like, social person in the world until I met Dorian.
Yeah.
If I know, like, 100
people. Nah, AK's on a different level.
If I know, like, 100 people, Dorian knows 1,000. That's, like, yeah, like, Dorian, like, that's number Mr. Nice Guy in the world, bro. Yeah. Like, what's it called? He there's nobody, like, he doesn't say hi to. And I feel like, what's it called? This life is all about, yo, yeah, this life is, you can make money, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. But what really tells in this life is, like, when it's all said and done, how many people come to your funeral?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, I feel as if that translates into, like, okay, how many people show up for you in content? How many people show up for you at a performance? How many people show up for you in just, like, just in your daily, like, in your daily walk? You know what I'm saying? How many people show up for you? And you just take everybody. You just take everybody as, what's it called, like, as, like, family. Like, you just, it's good. I don't know. Like, you just, yeah.
I feel like, for sure, what you really gotta do, bro. You just, something I always tell myself, bro. Just be genuine, bro. Like, if you're genuine, like, people are gonna mess with you off the bat. Like, you can't come in with a phony for some phony, like, you know. Because at this, there's one saying I heard, like, if you come in with a mask, eventually you're going to have to take the mask off. So you might as well come in without a mask.
For sure.
You know, people see you as you are. I would say, like, how I go about maintaining, definitely just saying hi. Like, me personally, I kind of find it weird where it's like, I've had a conversation with this person 1-2 times, and I'm just going to walk by the hallway and act like I never had a conversation with him. No, I'm going to go out my way and be like, oh, hey, what's up? How you been? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And simple as that, like, you know, you don't know how that can make somebody feel. You know, just, like, acknowledging that they're there and that you remember that you had a conversation with them.
Yeah.
I would definitely say, for sure, that time when I was in BBA, for sure, I think that really helped out a lot. Like it kind of showed me that, like, I know I could touch a lot of people and whatever way I can. So it was, like, doing that and, like, always just trying to, like, leave an impact on somebody. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you leave an impact on someone that's positive, like, you don't know what, like, what's the saying? It's like, the hand that you feed today, or what's that saying?
I know what you're trying to say. Like, it's like, you don't know who will be. You don't know who will be.
Like, who you're going to need down the line. Yeah. So just, like, be good right now.
You don't know who's going to be writing your checks at the end of the day. Yeah.
That's really, like, that's really how, like, I take it. Like, you don't know who's who. Mm. You don't know who owe. Somebody like you, look at, oh, this guy is not on nothing. That guy could be the next president.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody, I take everything as, like, bruh, everybody is everybody. And I like, just, you know, just show everybody love. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody just, we're all human beings, bruh. Like,
yeah, and we're all college students. Like, what do you want to act Hollywood for? Yeah, like, we're all college students.
Yeah, that's my little dream about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, in terms of...
Oh, the saying was... The toes that you step on today might be the foot that's up your ass tomorrow.
Hey.
God forbid. I didn't hear that one. I don't know that one. This man, he's been... this was the past 2 weeks, he's been saying some things.
Yeah, no Diddy, bro.
Yeah. But,
Oh, yeah, no Diddy, bro.
No Diddy. But... And then I spoke a little bit about, like, the performance aspect. And I think community is cool when it's, like, through the screen. You know, like I said, you asked for 400 comments. You got over 400 on that joint. But I'm sure, like, you see more of the validation. It's more real when you actually perform in person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've only been to, like, one of your performances, and it was at that, Big Dream? Small Artist, Big Dreams type.
Yeah.
Type. So, like,
you were there. I didn't.
Yeah, you were there. See, not too many people, but I'm just a number. But tell me about just, like, what you go, like, how does a performance, you know, translate to what you're doing in the studio? Like, is there a different mindset with that? Because obviously, like, you got one shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, tell me about the mindset, your approach in terms of those things.
So, like, in terms of performance, performance and studio are the same thing.
Okay.
In the sense that both of them require freedom. Performance is harder, though, because you have only one shot at freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Studio is easier because I can say, okay, I'm not freeing this one. Okay, I'm freeing this one. I'm freeing that one. But performance, like, I feel like how I prepare for performances so far right now is by not preparing for performances.
Okay.
So I that was the first time I actually performed with that band ever.
Okay.
So I don't know if you could tell, but like Sosa knows my music and they're just playing piano. I'm just going on a whim, just flying. I know that, okay, I know I'm going to do this. So we're just going through it. And I feel like that's, like, for performances, it's all about being free. Like, when you're performing, you want to be free. And you want to, like, engage with a crowd. And once you're free, you're confident. And performance is all about confidence, freedom. And I know my music is good. I shouldn't be scared to show you it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to feel like, even if your music is bad, if you're performing it like it's good, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, this got music good.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, performance is, to me, like, the most rewarding thing when it comes to music. Like, performance to me is more rewarding than a billion streams. I mean, no.
I get what he's saying.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but, like, performance is, like, it's very rewarding. Like, I love performing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have a performance, when this is out.
Friday. Yeah,
I have a performance Friday. Yeah, I actually have two performances on Friday.
Yeah.
One in Baltimore. And one here.
Mm-hmm.
So probably when this is, I won't be by that.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just so blessed. I'm so happy that, cause I actually, when it comes to performances, before the year started, I pray to God that I want to make the stage like my home.
Mm.
And honestly, bro, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 performances so far this year. And the year just started.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank God. Like, it's like, it's so performance is, like, to me, the most rewarding thing about making music and all that.
Mm. And so it's all, like, intuition in terms of, like, when you're going in there, like, you said, like, you're not preparing. Yeah. So, like, there's no type of imagining, like, oh, I'm about to be on stage. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Or it's just, like, everything is just straight, like, but when I get on there, I know I'm him, and I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
That's not true. I mean, I do imagine... Like, I want to do this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, I want to do this in this way.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it fails and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
You know, my first performance for Moolah Green, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I mean, It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but it was good for my first performance ever. Mm-hmm. Right? But like everything is like now I say when I want to do a cover song, like I want to like, I want, because I have to like, they have to know what to play, right?
Yeah.
So I have to plan that out.
Okay.
But I'm talking about in the sense of like, I don't know that I'm going to move this way. I don't know I'm going to move that way. I don't know I'm going to like do this dance. I don't know I'm going to do this move. Mm-hmm. I just feel the music and I move accordingly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's how, so that's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. But like, now I do imagine like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to transition Mulakrin to Ojo Elegba to that is, yeah, or something like that. I do imagine that.
Okay. Because the first thing I'm thinking about, just based off the one performance I'm seeing, is like the people that like you're picking out in the crowd. Those are all things that are just happening on instinct.
Yeah, okay.
I got you.
Yeah.
And then we kind of talked about how, I think off camera, we were talking about still trying to like incorporate the skits with the music. Tell me about that, what that looks like long term, even though like I guess that's not something that you're doing right now.
I can't lie to you, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So
okay,
if y'all have any tips, let me know.
fair.
But like, I'm trying to like put, like, I feel like I did back in the day, like the first song I was ever on was All Right. It was with, shout out to Kang, shout out to Yemi Soul, shout out to Steve, and shout out to Adu. I don't think Adu makes music anymore, but shout out to those guys. And shout out to TRL. Mm. It was my first song, like, and I made a skit with it, a gatekeeping skit with that song.
Yeah, okay.
So that was like, I think that's a good way to integrate both. However, I don't know.
Fair.
I don't know how to. I'm still trying to find a way. Like I'm actually taking this weekend to rest myself mentally, and like find a way to do so. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that the going back to the whole mindset of like looking cool, and I think just as men, we all have that mindset when we get to a certain age. Do you think that's kind of what plays a role in kind of like stalling your like venture into going back in that route? Because you have to think about it like,
yeah,
I still want to do this, but I still have a persona that I want to portray. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So yeah, like, am I collecting, like thinking that's what the scenario is?
Yeah, honestly, truly, it really is. Because like, I'm thinking like, oh, I can't even do the gym if I don't got a cut. You know what I'm saying? I can't even make a video if I don't got a cut. Whereas when I was younger, I'd make a video.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was hungry with skits when I was younger, bro. Like I was like, I just need a skit, just like a skit.
I feel like, and when you're younger, you don't care about how you look. Yeah. But like, I feel like that's just with society in general. Sometimes it's just like,
I blame women, bro. It's like, I blame society in general. Like, bro, I gotta look this way, I gotta look that way.
But if
I
it's putting like, money in your pocket, bro, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, but what about the conversation we talked about discernment? So like,
I know for sure.
Oh, I'm talking about like looking. I understand what you mean.
Yeah, for sure.
But nah, honestly, you wanna portray yourself. Okay, this is I wanna portray myself, and like right now, like in terms of making skits, I wanna portray myself in somebody. Will I make this kid and will my mom see it and be like, oh yeah, this is right, this is my son. Do I look good in the skit?
Yes. Okay. His brand.
Brand and everything. So like, does it fit what I'm doing now? So I feel like that's what I'm blocking. That's what could be blocking. I would say gatekeeping is, and like, what's it called? That was my truly me self.
Mm-hmm.
Making skits. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I could bring that back in a sense and like just probably like integrate it with music in a way, but I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. With gatekeeping, yeah, at least in my personal opinion, it doesn't even come off as like corny. Like you're just like, it's just funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where there's some other things where it's like you do sacrifice looking corny for like the fact that it's just funny, and then yeah, you get the views and things of that nature. Yeah. And then school. We didn't even touch on that. Obviously, doing all of this while you're in school. Talking about branding, how much of that is a thing that you think about when you're putting out music, or even when you're putting out the skits, when it's like, how does this impact like my opportunities when it comes to like, you know, professional things, when it comes to school and like, you know, just professional things that you may be like looking at doing other than the music?
In terms of school, in terms of skits, it doesn't, I never thought about that.
Fair.
Because I wasn't making skits when I was like actively looking for like
internships.
Funny thing. I actually put skits and all that on my resume.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just put it on my resume. But like in terms of like music, I've been to interviews where they really want to know who you are and what's it called. And I've shown them my music and they, what's it called? Like I remember I had this interview with Adobe. Like it was going good. We went to the final round.
Yeah.
You know, I showed them my music. They liked my music. We had a 40-minute conversation just talking about everything. They still denied me for the internship. But you know
they said, your joint's cool, but
you're great, but you know what I'm saying? We want another candidate. But it was cool, I feel like music, it just depends on the type of music I'm making. If I'm making Afrobeats, but Afrobeats is about like, love and vibes. So
yeah, nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. And if you're doing, I mean, you just be involved in a bunch of different things. I'll be seeing you everywhere. So like, in terms of like, do you worry about like your branding? In terms of just like, you're not doing like, let's say you're not a musician or you're not like, you know, I don't know if you're an entrepreneur. The way your money is, I don't know, you could be. But like, in being involved in so many things, is that something that you're thinking of when you're like landing such opportunities or pursuing such opportunities?
I would say when being involved in so many things, that's probably the best way you could probably get your name out there, because you don't know who you're gonna meet for sure. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And you know, sometimes a way I would think about it like this: what could I be doing else? Like, what else could I be doing? Mm-hmm. You know, because for a long period of time, I would say when I first started getting involved for a long period of time, bro, I would just, my freshman year, I would just be in SORC chilling all the time. You see what I'm saying? Just sitting there chilling all the time. I'm just like, all this time, I'm just sitting here chilling in SORC, bro. Let me go try to find something to do. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So like, trying to get involved as much as I can for sure. Trying to, like I said before, make an impact. And now my brand, I would say that my brand, I know what my brand is.
What's the AK brand?
Huh? I feel like my brand is for sure is like someone that's like always like you go to him, he gives you advice no matter what.
So
type of
for sure,
you,
the plug, sure,
you know, you know.
Like I always say the thing about Dorian, bro. Like if you want to get into the business school, you gotta meet Dorian first, bro.
For real.
If you want to get to Dorian has the cheat code of this is how you get into the business school. If you want to, like, I feel like UMB should bring this guy back as a mentor, because this guy, like, I don't know, like, so many people like. He's put on, like even with us, like I'm an info sci major, and he's like still putting me on for internships, all this, and went to NABA, all that, this, then the third. Like he's really like, Mr. Okay, how do you do this? Oh, go ask Dorian. How do you do this? Oh, go ask Dorian.
And one thing I could definitely say for sure, the people that I met my freshman year are the reason why I could do that, because the people that really Matthew, shout out Matthew, he showed me how to get into the business school, how to do X, Y, and Z, how to, like, you know, turn everything in your favor. You know, I had another person, Manuel, like, how to navigate through college, how to do all this stuff, you know. And then, like, Francisco, all of them, they showed me, like, okay, this is how you meet people, this is how you, like, talk to people and all that. So, like, just combining all my experiences and just, like, going through my day, just, like, being, like I said, being genuine, you know. You know, and also just making your actions thoughtful, not always being a robot.
And honestly, like, that's like one thing I really like. Like what he said, like honestly, the greatest teachers in college are not your professors. They maybe just be the people you meet along the way.
Yeah.
And they like that puts you, that guy you, what's it called? And those, they shape you into the person who you are. Like I feel like college was like for me, like one of the greatest shaping moments of my life. Because it shaped me to like do the things I do, to know the things I know, and like, and what he said, like look at him now, like he's teaching others because others have taught him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, and that's something that I feel like parents, they like the way they say it, sometimes it come off like, oh, why are you saying that? But like it makes sense, you know, like watching who you're making friends with, you know what I'm saying? For sure. Mm-hmm. Because especially in college, the friends that you hang, like the people that you hang around with, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna be like those people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
and like, what's it called? Like, it's in the sense, like, bro, like, let's say you're hanging around people that just like they're not doing anything. You're not gonna be doing anything. But if you're like, what's it called? And like, I always hear like this, like let's say if a frog is hanging around big frogs. He's gonna end up becoming a big frog. You know what I'm saying? So like once you're like it all depends on who you're hanging around. Like if everybody's on something, everybody's like, yo, I'm doing this. You're gonna be looking at yourself like
what am I doing?
You see what I'm saying? So let me lock in. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. Like.
And you said something that kind of not caught me by surprise because I understand that based off your story, but he's talking about how valuable college has been to you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who are in like this music industry, most of them, I guess you started like while you were in college, but most of them, a lot of them drop out or like they just don't go to college out because like that's holding them back from like, you know, being able to fast track their success. But like for you personally, I guess through the connections that you've made, and also, I mean, I feel like anything that you want to do, you can just find the time to do it and things of that nature. So like for you, you would just say like, you would recommend it if you have the opportunity, just pursue both. If like you really believe that your thing's going to pop off and you can just balance both.
Yeah. I honestly would pursue both, bro. I got you. The thing is like college, bro, the fact that you have a degree, the fact that you, okay, if all else fails, I got this degree.
Yeah.
If all else fails, I can say I studied information science at University of Maryland College Park.
Yeah.
And just that, it allows me, just having that backup, right?
Yeah.
It allows me to try to attain what I want to attain freely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, I understand in a sense why they do so. Once you cut your resort off, once you cut your last resort off and once you cut your backup plan off, you feel like this is your last resort and you go at it with all your heart.
Yeah, fair.
However, me personally, I'm going to do this without my heart because I've already felt like I've cut my backup plan off because I don't want to do this.
Careful. Adobe, bro, they be circling back and then they see the interview. They say, yeah, no, it's still not taking
you. I mean, honestly, like, I actually enjoy information science a
little bit. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I want but this is my dream. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with all my heart to attain it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everything I went through, I've always gone through what going in my head is I don't want my mother to be a regular mother.
Okay.
Like I want my mom to chilling with Burna Boy mom. or something that. Yeah. Or I want to give her everything she wants. So that's why I feel like there's no difference between me and them.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like I'll say I'm hungry as well.
Okay. And wrapping up though, in terms of what you do have for the future, you know, obviously, like you said, been blessed already, you have 7 performances this year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of music, you got anything going on the way, coming up, soon, long term?
Oh, man. I got you. I'll show you guys.
Is that your choice exclusive right here?
Which
one?
I can never be the tail.
I'm the top guy.
So, when I'm in Moolah Green, there was an ending beat, the Namio, Namio, Namio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and I really like that part, so I told Tosin to make it to a whole beat, a whole song, and we ended up doing this.
Pretty close to the mic.
That's the next joint, Moolah Green 2, aka Top Boy. We haven't recorded a music video for that song, and it's gonna be Top Boy themed. After that, I'm gonna show you guys something very special to my heart. So my middle name is Owolabi. I guess it's just a prophetic middle name, because I don't know. Because Owolabi means in Yoruba means it's money we birthed, or. Am I right? Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can find it. Let me find it real quick. So I'm gonna be dropping Haven't decided on what the songs will be, but I'm going to be dropping this project. That's the cover. This is
an album, EP.
It might be an album or an EP. It might just be a single, but we're still figuring it out. Depending on those are the things that's coming up for me. That performances and a lot of stuff coming up. We're working, bro. We're working. And skits are coming back too.
Okay.
Movies are coming too.
Movies.
Because actually, I don't know if I told you guys my second passion was acting.
Okay.
Like, I love to act and all that. Mm-hmm. I just got a little discouraged coming to UND.
Because
of the theater program, I had to write too much. But, my second passion is acting, and I'm making movies. I actually filmed one. We filmed a script I wrote earlier this year. That should be coming out soon. But, yeah, so those are the things you can expect from me coming out. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... anything on plug? Any socials? You already have enough followers, but but any socials,
Follow me at YUNGSERIKI on all platforms. On TikTok it's _YUNGSERIKI and the other page is Young Siriki Music. And also follow J Keys on all his platforms. Shout out. Mm-hmm. Follow 1K Shay on all his platforms. Shout out Tobes Music. So his joint is T. I think it's T.
It's T. O B E S. Is it two E's? It's one E, right?
Bro, I don't know the guy.
I think it's T O B E S.
Shout follow Tobes, bro. Tobes Music. If you go into my, follow Oche. If you go to my following, follow all those guys. I think Oche is Matt.Oche.
Yeah.
So follow all those guys. These are the guys we're going to be coming up with, bro. These guys, they're talented, bro.
Oh,
so,
And don't forget about Seif, man.
Oh, follow Seif. These guys are coming up, bro, man. Shout out to all those guys. I ain't got all these guys. They're talented beyond you. What's it called? If we all unite and make what's it called, it's like we're going to be the Avengers. Shout out to all those guys. Shout out Kang too. I don't think Big Man needs a shout out from me, but shout out to Kang. You know what I'm saying? But definitely, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then you guys know where to follow me at AK.Dorian, man. Dorian.
AK.Dorian. I appreciate y'all coming on. I always like to shout out everybody who's like helped me behind the scenes. So shout out my man Yaffa in the back. And then you've got a whole Nigerian fan base back here. Shout out Nicole. Shout out Uche. Shout out Ore. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Follow Your Choice Pod on all platforms. I think it's the same for the TikTok if we've got that one up. But you can cut the joint. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, Lord. That was good.